Wow, it is so good to be back. I want to first of all say thanks to all of you who covered for me while I was out of town. I really appreciate it, Dave, and the whole leadership team. They always step up when I need to be away, and it wasn't a vacation. It was a conference that I went to, but it was like a spiritual vacation. It was so amazing. I can't wait to share some stories with you today about that. But before we do that, I want to let you know that we do have a 10-minute party next Sunday after church. If you're relatively new to Oak River and would like to know a little bit more about it, we would love to host you for 10 minutes, only 10 minutes. We just want to make sure we get a chance to meet you. And if you have any questions, then we're going to do the after service next week. And so also, I wanted to take a moment and honor all of you who have served in the armed forces. Since yesterday was Veterans Day, could you stand up so we can thank you for serving? Stay standing. I have a little treat for you. You can either have soft caramels, jelly bellies, caramel coffee, or cocoa cream. So pick a bag of candy. I know you're doing the organic thing, but maybe your grandkids, I don't know. I just thought you might enjoy something.
Thanks. All right. Thank you.
Make sure I get everybody. Fred? All right. Don? All right. Jelly bellies for you, Fred. Thanks again for your service. We're so grateful for those of you who make it possible for us to live and walk in freedom. I really wanted to get you lifesavers. Get it? I know, I'm punny. But I thought, no, caramels are better than lifesavers, sorry. Right? So, I don't know if Tim is aware or not, but this month we are doing a whole series this month on Grateful 24/7. So I love that you did that in your opener because it totally flows with what we're talking about all month, Grateful. And it just occurred to me that the cure, yes, I said cure, the cure for discouragement or self-pity is gratitude. Every time. Every time. You're feeling discouraged. Everybody gets on the pity pot once in a while. Don't pretend you don't. I've shared this with you before, but I read one time, it's okay to sit on the pity pot once in a while. Just don't sit there long enough to get ring around the hiney. Right? So we all do that sometimes, but the cure for being in a mode of self-pity every time is gratefulness. It's gratitude. And so we feel like it's worth more than just one day of Thanksgiving to give thanks. We feel like it's a 24/7 thing. So we're taking the whole month to talk about it. Dave kicked it off last week. And today I really felt inclined, even before I went to California, to talk about the big littles today. Because it's easy for us to be grateful when there's a birth of a child or a wedding or a promotion at work or a lotto ticket winning, you know, winning lotto tickets. Like it's easy to be grateful in those things, right? But what about the big littles? The little moments that happen that are bigger than we realize. So today I'm going to talk about that. And then God gave me all this material while I was in California for it. I already had the title and then he gave me a bunch of material for it. So I really want to just share some stories with you of what happened to me in California. And I want you to hear these stories and be happy for me, obviously, but I want it to be more than that. I want it to be that you hear the story and it creates a hunger in you to be grateful for the big littles. To be grateful for the big littles. So the first thing I want to talk about is I'm grateful for little messages with big meaning. I'm grateful for little messages with big meaning. I'm going to ask the question, but don't answer because I don't want to embarrass you. Ask answer in your mind, have you ever heard God's voice? Okay? And some of you are probably thinking, no, I really haven't ever heard God's voice. But I propose to you that that's not true. You have heard God's voice. You wouldn't be in church this morning if you hadn't heard God's voice. Some of you are like, well, that was my wife. I'm pretty sure that was my wife. That wasn't God. No, it was God speaking through your wife. That's possible. If you are a believer, if you've made a commitment to follow Christ, it's impossible for you to have made that decision without hearing God's voice. He's the one who speaks to you in the deep place, and he's the one who calls you to himself. So whether you know it or not, you have heard God's voice. Just settle that in your mind. Sometimes we approach God and we think, I've never heard God's voice. And so we get so focused on the fact that we may not be doing something right to hear his voice, or he might not be happy with us, so he's not speaking to us. How many of you used to believe God was bipolar? Like sometimes he was so nice and sometimes he was mad, you know? He's not bipolar. Jesus did away with that thinking. He's not bipolar. But we approach him, and so we can't hear his voice. We can't hear his voice because we have put a block up thinking, yeah, he's not talking to me. That's not true. He loves talking to you. But sometimes the messages are so little that we mistake them for just our own brain. Or we mistake them for someone else talking to us. And his voice comes through. In Matthew 4:4, it says, but Jesus told him, no, he's talking to the devil there, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, look, and he said it in several places. He said, look, when my Father talks to me, that is like eating bread for me. That is sustenance for me. That is nourishment for me. I can't get through a day without hearing his voice. That's how much Jesus valued the word of his Father. So sometimes I know, like I'll have a thought and I'm like, okay, how do I know if that's God or if that's just something I made up? Anybody else feel that way sometimes? Like, is that God or is that just my imagination? I can give you an answer for that I've developed myself. If that thought leads to love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, it's God. Because I don't create those kinds of thoughts in my own self. My thoughts are more like, what is wrong with you? Why are you driving like that? That's me. That's not God. But if I have a thought, any thought, if I have any thought that leads to love, joy, peace, patience, any of those things, that's God. Because in Galatians, it tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, etc. I love in John where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's just said some pretty, pretty tough stuff. And thousands of his disciples literally abandoned him at this point. He's basically said, look, unless you're willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be part of the kingdom. Now, we know he wasn't talking about cannibalism there. He was talking about the fact that we have to be willing to accept his offering on the cross of his sacrifice in order to be part of his kingdom. But thousands of people left. I don't know, that somehow gives me comfort. I'm not going to make everybody happy all the time. Whew, what a relief, right? If people deserted Jesus, pretty sure people are going to desert you and me. That's just kind of life, the way it goes. But at that point, Jesus, it says in John 6:67-69, it says, then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? And I love Peter's response here. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. In other words, Peter said, Jesus, When you talk, I come alive. When you talk, when you speak, something inside of me that I can't even put into words just burst into life. That's how you know if it's God or not. Because something inside of you wakes up. Something inside of you goes, whoa, that is awesome. Like, it brings hope. It brings love. Brings all of those things. So I was able to fly to California on my son's flight benefits. He works for United Airlines, and so that's just a beautiful thing that the church didn't have to pay for my airline ticket to get out there, which was awesome. I'm always looking for ways to save money. But because of that, I flew out one day early just in case I got delayed anywhere. So I didn't get delayed. That was a miracle. And I got there Monday night, and so I had all day Tuesday just for me, which was really nice, you know? And I'd heard about this place called Whiskey Town Lake that's up there. You want to put the picture up for us, Ron, to show everybody how beautiful it is? Is that gorgeous? I mean, I can't even tell you how beautiful it is. If you look in the center of the screen, I don't have a laser pointer, but if you look in the center of the screen, you can see just to the left of those two ridges, there's a little fire that's burning over there. I saw probably five fires while I was there. It was really crazy. It was interesting. There we go. Right to the left. Right up. Right there. See the smoke? Thanks. Yeah, is that your phone? No, okay. So Tuesday, I thought, well, first of all, I'm going to sleep in, because I had been up since 3:30 in the morning until about 9:30 at night. I was wiped out from the travel and from the getting situated in the place I stayed and all that. So I said, I'm going to sleep in. That's my first goal, sleep until my body wakes me up. 4:30. Hello, good morning. Even on California time. What? Seriously. But anyway, so I woke up and I said, I'm just going to take my time, relax, you know, getting ready. And then I'm going to go up to Whiskey Town Lake and just explore by myself. And I was looking forward to that. And I'm going to hike around and I'm just going to explore. I'm going to get a map from the visitor center and just drive and find some beautiful places. And so I did that and I came across this place called Crystal Creek. Isn't that beautiful? With a waterfall. Oh, it was just gorgeous. Part of the reason you can see that ray so beautifully is because of the smoke, the haze that's in the air from the fires. And you want to do the next picture, Ron? It just takes me right back there when I see it. It was gorgeous. So I go up there, I get a sub from Subway, and I go up there, and I'm just going to soak in God's presence, because God is in nature, big time. And but he doesn't always show himself through loud voices. Sometimes it's a little tiny whisper. And so I'm up there, and it is remote right there. It is so remote that not my cell phone doesn't work. Forget it. There's no coverage out there. I didn't see a soul for the first 3 hours I was there. Like, not a single person was there. I'm like, okay, this could be good or this could be bad. On some of the hikes, I'm like, do I really want to try that hike? Because if I fall, I'm not known for my gracefulness. If I fall, I'm in trouble, you know? But I'm sitting there at the picnic table at one point. There's this one lone picnic table by the falls. And I'm sitting there having my lunch and just feeling God's presence all around me, you know? And I look over and there's this bush just to the left of here. I tried to get a video of it, but it didn't work. There was this bush and it was filled with leaves about this big all over it, yellow, beautiful yellow leaves. The whole thing was filled. There wasn't any wind. There was no breeze. One leaf on the bush was like this. One leaf, not the whole bush, just one leaf. I'm like, well, that's weird. It kind of made me feel like Moses with the burning bush. So I had to go over and take a look, right? And so I'm staring at this one leaf and I'm rationalizing in the natural, thinking there's probably a bug on the underside of that leaf that's causing that one leaf to move and none of the other leaves to move. And about the time I thought that, that leaf went dead still and a different leaf started doing it. I'm like, really? Really? That's weird. And it still could have been a bug. I don't know. But at that moment, it was like the Lord gave me this little message with big meaning. And he said, you know what I love about you, Sandy? Now, remember 2 weeks ago, I asked you to ask the Lord, what do you love about me? Remember that? But I didn't initiate this conversation. He did. He said, you know what I love about you? I was like, what? He said, I love that you're playful, like that little leaf on that bush. He said, but grief and responsibility has covered up your playfulness, but I'm bringing it back out again. I mean, that was a tiny little message, but it got my heart, you know? Because I used to be so playful. I used to play jokes on people all the time. I mean, I was always pulling pranks. My kids never knew when they would walk by a closet if I was going to jump out. Like, I was constantly doing stuff like that. I got your dad one time really good, Johnny. Do you remember? With a water gun. It was so funny because I had done water guns during the message. And I think at that time, John and Johnny were locking up that Sunday after the service was over. And I was in my office and something just came over me. And the spirit of mischief. And so I happened to have a filled water gun below my desk. So I said, hey, John. He was down the hall. Hey, John, could you come down here? I have a question for you. And he goes, yeah, what is it? Because, you know, Mr. Help, he's like all over it. So he comes over and he pokes his head around the door and I nail him. And he goes, that's it. I'm getting you. I felt like God said, I love that part of you, and I want to see more of that part of you because I love it. I cherish it. You see, that was a little, little tiny message, but it had big meaning to me because it spoke of something new in my life that was really part of me that had been lost. And he says, I'm giving it back. I'm restoring it. So look out. I might pull out. I'm just saying. So I spent the day there, had a great time, just snapping pictures and sending them to my kids and just having a great time. Then that night, I stayed with this lady there through this basically kind of an Airbnb situation, but she lived in the home and I just stayed in her home and paid her to stay in her home. And it was fun because I got to know someone new and she wants me to move there now. And I'm like, well, some people might have some things to say about that. And so, but we said, well, let's watch a movie together tonight, right? Let's turn on Amazon Prime and watch a movie. So we did. So we turned this movie on called Remember the Goal. I would recommend it. It's a good movie. It's a cheesy Christian movie, but it's still good. It's still good, you know. I mean, you can put up with a little cheese factor, right? And it was about this girls' track coach of a Christian school who came in to coach cross country. And the whole concept of the movie, without giving it away too much, is that she wants them to train so that they can remember the goal that they have to win states. That's their goal. But the whole process of that is that she trains them to run their race, not someone else's race, to run at their pace. And it costs them some meets because she wouldn't let them run faster than their tempo pace, it's called. And she trained them running up hills, but she kept saying, remember the goal. Remember the goal. It's your race. It's not someone else's race. Run at the pace that I have set for you, the tempo pace, because in order to run faster, you have to train slower. Now, I knew when I was watching the movie that God was speaking little messages to me through it. I knew it. But sometimes he's so fun because he gives you a little appetizer without telling you really what it means. And then a little later, he brings clarity. So I tell you those two stories, and I'm going to come back to both of those. Number two, I'm grateful for little moments with big impact. Little moments with big impact. Matthew 6:30 says, "And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" Little moments. If we can understand that God values little moments, they matter to him. Little moments. The week before I went to California, I had these little unexpected moments with my sons, all three of my sons, at different times. I got to speak on the phone with Rem, my oldest, who lives in Guam, for like 45 minutes, thanks to Facebook Messenger. So grateful. So grateful for technology. But it wasn't planned. It was one of those things. I sent him a message. He sent me a message. And then finally one of us said, "Hey, we should just talk." And so we ended up talking. And the same thing happened with all three of my sons at various times. And the ages that my kids are, for those of you who are parents will appreciate this, when your kids are 18, 20, and 25, you don't have much time with them. It's just the way it is. And so you treasure little moments, especially if they're unplanned. There's something about spontaneity that just feels like a little gift. It just feels like, oh, this is nice, right? And so that happened to set me up. Well, then in California, one of the things I loved about going to the conference that I went to, there was like 900 people who came to this conference. It was a leadership conference called Leaders Advance. So good. What I loved a lot about it, but one of the things I loved about it, it wasn't a how-to, like how to grow your church in 10 easy steps. It wasn't like that. Because sometimes I've been to those conferences and I get discouraged. I'm like, well, I'm glad that worked for you, but I've tried all that stuff and it didn't work for me, you know. It wasn't like that at all. It was more about get in with the Lord, get connected with God, and get connected with other people. And there were 27 nations represented at this conference. It was fun to be around so many international people. It was just fun. I don't know. It expands your worldview. It helps you, right? And I got to meet the sweetest couple from Dominican Republic. Just connected with them immediately. Carol and Roosevelt are their names. And it felt like a little moment with big impact. Because I met them, and as soon as I met them, I felt like I'd known them my whole life. You know? And they're from Dominican Republic. Like, that's impossible. They had a hard time speaking English. And even though I took 4 years of Spanish, I don't know much Spanish. It's gone. Un poquito. That's all. And then I met the most lovely couple from the UK, Will and Beverly. And we just had lunch together and talked. And they wanted to hear my story, and I wanted to hear their story. And it was a little moment, but somehow it became something bigger in here, you know? Little moments with big impact. But then, so the next day, there were two meetings. There was a meeting in the morning that wasn't part of the conference, but they invited me to this meeting that was for people who had taken their online class, and I did a couple years ago. And then there was a registration in the afternoon. That was the only thing we had on Wednesday. So remember the movie I watched the night before and the word spoken over me about from God about being playful. So Wednesday, I go to this first meeting, and it was a good meeting. We just visited with people and got to know some people. That's where I met Will and Beverly. And we were just talking, and you know, and then they talked to us about some things that are happening in the future with their online education system. And it was all good. But at the end of it, they had some times where people came up and were giving prophetic words, right? And some were really specific, like this word is for someone named Bob. Bob, is there a Bob? Okay, Bob, stand up. Da 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 da. And some of it was like, if you're wearing purple, stand up. I have a word for you. Like, I'm not kidding you. That's how it was. It was really beautiful. Well, then it was so funny because I was confident that I was going to have a word for me. I don't know why, because I don't usually go into situations thinking that, but I did. And so I literally had my phone out and I was ready to hit record, because whenever you get a prophetic word, it's really good to record it so you can play it back and really ask God what he means by it and blah, blah, blah. So I had my phone out and I was ready. I'm like, okay, I'm getting a word, right? And didn't get a word. And then towards the end, this one girl stood up and she said, you know, I feel like I have a word, but it's kind of for everybody. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to press record. I wish I had. That was a bad move. Because then she started saying this. She said, I don't know why, but I see you running in this race. Remember the movie I'd seen the night before? I see you running in this race. And I feel like the Lord is saying, set your own pace. Run at your own tempo. Don't compare yourself to anybody else, but run your race. Don't run some. And I'm like, whoa, like almost word for word stuff that was from the movie. I'm like, did she watch that movie last night too? Like, that's how significant it was. I knew it was for me, but I was too dumbfounded to press record on my phone. And so she said, but I feel like you're running uphill and you've been running uphill for a long time. That was a big part of the movie. You've been running uphill for a long time and it's hard and you want to quit, but don't quit. Keep running. Just don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just keep running your race. I'm like, okay, I needed that. Little message. Big impact, but God used it to confirm something in my heart. You know, he used it to move me, to speak to me. Then remember the word that he gave me by the bush about being playful? The next day, they had us, if we wanted to go and set up a prophetic time with people who function in the prophetic. When I say prophetic, I hope you don't think I mean you're going to move to Alaska next year. Not that kind of prophetic. It's more like the Bible tells us in the New Testament that prophecy is for the use of edification and encouragement in the body. So that's the kind of prophecy I'm talking about. It's not weird. I mean, it is amazing, but it's not weird. And you always walk away feeling like, oh my goodness, God knows me and God loves me. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I want everything you have to give. God, anything you have, I'm in. I don't care if I get physically tired. This is bothering me because it keeps banging, and I know it must be bothering some of you who are like me. And so I'm going to take it off. And so I'm like, okay, I want the prophetic, definitely. So I signed up, and I go in there. It was quite an experience because you're sitting in a room and these two ladies are sitting across from me, but in the room there's all these pockets of people who are doing the prophetic word at the same time individually, right? And so I sat down and these two ladies start talking, and one of them, you know, they take turns. I do have this one recorded. I've listened to it and transcribed it already because I've listened to it like four times. And it gets me every time. But I'm not going to tell you the whole thing because it was like 8.5 minutes long. But the first lady says, as soon as I saw you, I felt my heart expanding in my chest. And I feel like God is growing your capacity to love and that it's been exhausting for you sometimes. She said, are you a mother? I go, yeah, I have three boys. And she started laughing. She's like, oh, and boys need lots of mothering. I said, you are not kidding me. And she said, and what's been hard, you know, God is gonna increase your capacity so it's not gonna make you weary to love. And she said, you love your congregation the same way, don't you? I said, yes, I do. And she said, it's gonna become effortless for you to love people. It's just going to come flowing out of you. And then what, the other girl started talking and she said, I don't know, I just get this impression that I'll save that for another time. So then they went on. the two of them back and forth for a little while. And then this 11-year-old boy, how old are you, Cole? 14. How old are you, Jack? Yeah, so he was 1 year younger than you. He came bouncing up and sat in between the two girls across from me. And he had blonde dreadlocks down to here. He looked like a young Todd White, if you've ever... He literally looked like an 11-year-old Todd White to me, totally. And he comes bouncing over like a kid. He doesn't come over like this. Like, he's literally bouncing over. He sits down, and I'm like... And they go, oh, hi, Judah. Judah's back from lunch. He's here to prophesy as well, if that's okay. I'm like, yes, kids. I love when kids prophesy because they can hear God easier than most of us, I think. And or they don't question it as much, maybe. So Judah says, yeah, he says, I see you like with arrows all over you. But they're not wounds. They're arrows of responsibility. And God wants you to be playful again. Now, I've never seen this kid. I've never even told a single person what God has spoken to me at the park. And he's repeating it. He said, and I believe God wants us to take out those arrows that have cut into you. And everywhere that their arrow was, he said, I see a Band-Aid, but it's not a skin-toned one. It's a brightly colored Band-Aid, like a really fun color, like those neon, you know. And he said, that represents your freedom. That everywhere responsibility has cut into you, God is giving you a freedom to be you and to let go of the responsibilities because he's got you. He's got it covered. From this pipsqueak. And the other two girls are like, whoa, because he hasn't heard what they've been saying, and it totally lines up with what they've been saying. And they're like, whoa, like this. We were all blown away. Little messages with big impact. I hope my stories make you hungry today. I hope you walk out hungry to hear little messages from God. Because I know God loves talking to his people. He loves talking to his children. So if you're hungry, then you're always going to be adjusting your dial. What is he saying? What is he saying? And then the last, I'm doing good on time. The last point I have is that I'm grateful for little surprises with big joy. Now, these are just fun. Rhonda calls them pieces of candy from God. And that's my language, you know. She calls them pieces of candy from God. So the good thing about flying standby on flight benefits of your son is that you get to fly for free. The bad thing is you have to fly standby. Now, if you know me at all, standby is not my thing, right? I want to have a plan. I want to know what time I'm leaving, what time I need to be there to leave. I need to know what time I'm going to be arriving, where I'm going to be arriving. Standby, can't do that. Can't do that. I had to pack an overnight bag in case I get stranded in some city that I've never been in. So on the way home, the other thing is you can't find out what time your flight is going to be until 24 hours. Less than 24 hours, you're supposed to be there. Just the way you can do it, but it won't do any good because it might fill up. So you can't make a plan. So on Sunday, I'm due to fly out on Monday. On Sunday, I'm like messaging my son, when am I flying? Can you just clue me in a little bit? Because he has to arrange it. I can't. He has to because he's the employee. And so he texts me, goes, Mom, it does not look good to fly out of Sacramento. That's where I flew in. He said, I think you need to fly out of Redding. And I'm like, then I have to return the rental car in a different place and blah, blah, blah. So it's stressing me out because I am such a parallel and perpendicular person. And I'm like, Sandy, you are free. See, Band-Aids all over, free. You are free. And if you don't get home on the same day, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be, you know, checking. It doesn't matter. So I'm like, okay, just relax. So he says, Mom, I think you need to fly out of Redding, and I don't think you're having any trouble getting from Redding to San Francisco, but getting from San Francisco to Cleveland is going to be really tough. He said, I'm not hopeful that you're going to make it on that plane, but we'll go ahead and put you down. And I'm like, oh, you know, starting to develop a tick, you know. And so I'm like, it's okay, Rem. I'm good. I'm just trying to be cool. I said, if I get stranded in San Francisco, I'll spend the night there. I'll see the Golden Gate Bridge for the first time. It's all right. It's all good. I will figure it out because I'm a big girl. I can handle this, right? He was more nervous than I was because he felt responsible, which is really sweet. And so I flew from Reading to San Francisco. I get there. There's a 4.5-hour layover. So I have 4.5 hours to sit and wonder if I'm going to get on the next plane. And the plane in front of me from the same gate, I hear them say, sorry, folks, we have no more seats. We're asking for somebody to wait for the next flight tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, okay, right? So I'm like, don't worry. It's going to be fine. I'm telling myself all this good self-talk, right? And so I'm sitting there. So about an hour and a half before my flight was due to leave, I go up to the gate and I said to the attendants, I go, hey, I'm supposed to be flying standby. I just want to make sure you have a record. And she said, what's your last name? And I said, Phillips. And she said, yeah, we have you on record. I said, how's it looking? Holding my breath. How's it looking? And she goes, not great. Now, Rem has already told me this. He knows. He doesn't think I'm going to get on, you know? And I said, okay. She said, we're oversold by 2 seats, and then you have the 3rd spot. I said, okay, how's it looking right now? And she said, all but 12 have checked in. This is like almost 2 hours before the flight's supposed to, yeah. So I'm like, my hopes just went, I'm spending the night in San Francisco. And so I wait for another 2 hours. They have the screen that shows that you're standby, and they put a check by your name if you get a seat. No check. So they start boarding the plane, group 1, group 2, group 3, group 4, group 5. And I'm like, yeah, no check by my name. I'm done. So as they were finishing up boarding the last few people, I walk over and I say, it doesn't look good, right? I said, it's okay. I'll make other arrangements. She said, no. She said, we actually... have about, I think she said, 3 seats that are left and that people haven't checked in yet. She said, just sit down right there close and we'll see what we can do. I said, okay. So I sat down, but I had no hope that it was going to happen. I'm not a big faith person sometimes, sorry. And so I sat down. And then this lady comes running up. Ah, I'm here. And my sister's in the bathroom. She's coming. So I'm like, there's 2 seats gone, right? I mean, I'm just being, and then this guy comes running up. My plane was late. And so in my mind, I'm like, 1, 2, 3 seats gone. That's it. But I'm sitting there anyway, because she told me to sit, and I listen to people. I do. I listen when they tell me. And so I sat there. I'm sitting there, and the captain of the plane comes out from the plane, and he says to the attendants, he goes, how's it looking for us today? I want to get these people home tonight on time. And they said, well, it's filling up. You know, we're just finishing everything up. And he goes, do we have any UFs tonight? I think that's what he said, United Family, maybe? I'm not positive, but he said some kind of code word. And they go, yeah, we have one. And he looks at me, and he goes, is that her? And I go, what am I going to do? You know, I'm like, hi. And he goes, he does this. He goes, I'm not leaving without you on the plane. And I go, awesome. I don't know how you're going to do that. Am I going to be sitting in the cockpit with you? Because I don't think there's a seat left. But I knew it was favor. I knew it was the favor of God. It was like God said, I'm going to prove to you how much favor is on your life right now. I'm going to be ridiculous with it, right? So he goes to get something from the newsstand and comes back and he goes, okay, how's it looking? And they said, well, we don't know yet. He goes, find a seat for this woman. And then he comes over and he starts talking to me like we have all day. And I'm like, but I need to get on the plane. And he's like, so do you work for United? I'm like, no, my son does. Oh, what does he do? I'm like, we're having this whole conversation. And I'm like, really? Super nice guy. He called himself an ex-con. You probably know what that means, right? Used to work for Continental. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Well, I'm not sure I want to be on that plane. plane. And so anyway, we're chatting and chatting, and then he walks away and he goes to the attendants. He goes, okay, I'll see you. And then he goes, get her on the plane now. I'm like, they said, come on. I'm like, where am I sitting? They go, the lady at the front will tell you. I'm like, okay. So I grab my overnight bag and I start to get on the plane in the front of the lady at the front. I go, where am I sitting? And she goes, well, you can either have 32F or 38F, but I would recommend 38F because 38D or 38E is empty. I'm like, oh, God showed off. He didn't just give me one seat. You see, he gave me two. Now, for this long-legged woman, that's kind of a big deal, because the rest of the flights, I was like a pretzel. My knees were in my chest, you know, and I had room to put my purse. Oh, you ladies understand this. To put my purse beside me instead of shoving it in the seat underneath, I had room to stretch out my legs. Little surprises. Wasn't necessary. I knew God loved me without that, but it was a little piece of candy from God. Now here's another piece of candy. The flight arrived 45 minutes early into Cleveland. If you've ever been on a plane, you know that's a miracle. That is a miracle. That does not happen, right? Little piece of candy. I also got a free meal, which I didn't expect. That's another whole story, but God just said, I'm going to show you what favor looks like. And it's just for fun. Not because I have to, not because you're expecting it, just because I like making you laugh. I like it. Makes me happy. Little messages with big meaning, little moments with big impact. Little surprises with joy, big joy, just joy. Just make you happy. I believe there are people in the room who are like, oh, I need more of that in my life. Get grateful for what you have. More will come. Really. Get grateful for what you have. More will come. I am such a believer in that. As long as I'm looking at what I don't have, then my energy is all focused on what I don't have. But the moment I turn my energy to what I do have, I turn my attention, my affection to what I do have, and I get grateful 24/7, suddenly more starts showing up. It's really crazy. I don't understand it. Scientifically, it doesn't make sense, but I just have experienced it, and I know it's true. If you're in this room and you're in that category, just figure out a way to be grateful for what you have. Figure out a way. It's possible. Dwell on it. Make a list. Whatever fits your personality. Speak about it. I loved what Tim shared about that company. They made their employees go out and call 20 different people. Is that what you said? 20 people to tell them, I'm grateful for you? That is life-changing. I mean, when's the last time you told someone that you see every day, I am grateful for you in my life? It's easy to do with a stranger. Like Will and Beverly from the UK, I was like, you guys are the best. I love you. And then I come home and I'm like, when's the last time I told my kids that? You're the best. I love you. Today, we get to take corporate communion together. And I think it totally goes so well with the grateful 24/7 message. But if there's anyone in the room and you've never made a decision to follow Christ, we don't really close our eyes and bow our heads. We just like doing things out in the open. So if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, if you've never responded to God's calling to you in your heart and you want to today, if you'll raise your hand, I'll lead you through a very simple prayer to make that happen. Anybody? Raise your hand if that's you. Anybody? Be brave, be bold. Anybody? Okay, then I'm going to assume that all of you are believers. We do practice open communion. You guys can go ahead and start passing that out. Thank you. We practice open communion. We invite anyone who wants to participate in communion. And it is gluten-free, seed-free. So just want to make sure you know that. This is a chance for us to celebrate big. It's not a big little, it's a big big, which I'll talk about in 2 weeks. It's a big big, the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Roger, can you play that song for us for a few minutes while they're serving? So thankful for what this little cracker represents. I'm so grateful. It just seems like an innocuous little thing, doesn't it? A common little thing. That's so big. That's so big. Because when I look at this cracker, I remember that Jesus was willing to be misunderstood so that I could fully understand God. Jesus was willing to make forgiveness retaliation. Like, so little. He was willing for his body to be broken. That's why they're broken in half. Because he was willing for his body to be broken and abused so that we could walk in divine health. So God, we thank you for this little cracker. And we celebrate this little cracker that is so big in that it reminds us of the price that has been paid so that you can talk to us every day, so that you can communicate with us, so you can give us candy, so you can surprise us, so you can bring joy to us, so that we can be in relationship, that you are not this big, distant God who's watching from far away and just lets things happen as they happen, but you're involved in our lives and you care about every detail of our lives. And we're grateful for that. So God, as a sign that we accept this gift, we take the cracker together and we say thank you. Cup of juice. Little. Oh, but I'm so grateful for what it represents. Because when I see the juice, I remember that the blood Jesus shed, so that every time God looks at me, he sees perfection. He sees purity. He sees restoration. every time he looks at me. He's not bipolar anymore. He never was, but our misunderstanding of him. But I don't have to see him that way. I can see him as he is because of the blood of Jesus made all things right again. It made all things right. And so this little cup of juice, God, we thank you for this little cup of juice that represents the big sacrifice that was made by your son so that we could be in full relationship again. We can be friends of you. We can be friends. We can talk at the park together. You can speak to me through a movie. You can speak to us through a person we've never met. Because of this sacrifice, we're in full relationship again. You can even pour out little surprises on us. And so I see you right now, God, pouring out candy on everybody in this congregation. Little surprises, unexpected blessings that make us go, wow, he's so good. And they bring us joy. They bring us joy. And we thank you for those things. Let's take the blood, the juice together. Right after I got on the airplane, I messaged my son. I go, you're never going to believe it. I got on the plane. He goes, I know. And there's an empty seat right beside you. I guess he could see online. I'm like, whoa, okay. He was like, you are so lucky. Now, 15 years ago, I would have said, not lucky, blessed. But I've been set free. And I said, I know, thanks. Because he knows. He knows it's not luck. He knows it's God. I don't have to tell him that. He knows. It was pretty fun. I got to tell you, it was pretty fun. I have so many stories. I was there for a week. So I literally have so many stories. I could sit down with any of you and talk for hours right now. That's how it feels. But I'm not going to because I'm going to save some. You'll get some probably in a couple of weeks, and then they'll probably leak out over time too. So I just want to say thank you for allowing me to go and get refilled and refreshed, and blessings on you.